We're taking up the reading, or commencing the reading, where we studied last Thursday evening with the fifth of the cries of the Saviour. Verse 28 says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the Scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another Scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced." Ending a reading there tonight. And we're assured the Lord will add his own blessing tonight to the public reading of his word. It's the words of verse 30 is our text this evening. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, it's these words he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. We'll come tonight to the sixth of the cries of the Saviour on the cross. These three simple words, but what a wealth of meaning that is contained within them. There is an old proverb that I'm sure is familiar to all who are gathered in the meeting tonight, that every cloud has a silver lining. It is true to say the darkest cloud that ever hung across this world or across this earth was the one that hung across the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And even that dark cloud had a silver lining. The last two cries that we have dealt with, the fourth and the fifth, they brought before us in a very clear and vivid manner the tragedy of the cross. You think of those words, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And the words we considered also last Thursday night that are found in the verse that we commenced our reading with this evening, "I thirst." Those indicate to us, bring before us clearly, the dark cloud that hung across our Saviour, that very dark cloud of the cross itself. The awful tragedy, the agony of the Saviour's sufferings, they teach us a little of what he endured and of what he actually went through when he died on the cross for our sins. But this cry, brethren and sisters, the sixth cry, brings us from the tragedy of the cross to the triumph of the cross. What the Saviour is actually declaring here in these three simple words is his triumph. Remember that even though he was dying, he was not defeated. He was triumphant. Notice the words carefully, because he did not say, "I am finished," that would have been defeat. What he actually said was, "It is finished." And that makes a world of difference. This is a declaration of triumph. Even though he was the victim, he was the sacrifice, as it were, upon the altar, he was also the victor. And the words that he uttered here, these were the victor's cry. In fact, in Luke's account of this sixth cry of the Saviour, this sixth saying, Luke describes it as a loud cry. It wasn't just a little whimper, something that was said in a soft volume or in a soft voice or a soft tone. It was a loud cry. The Saviour raised his voice. When he uttered these words, it was a shout that reverberated around the universe. He wanted heaven, earth, and hell to hear that the victory of the cross was accomplished. Every one of these statements, these cries, we've given a title to them as we've gone through the study. Let me quickly recap for you. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The cry of intercession. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That was the cry of salvation. When he said to Mary, woman, behold thy son, and son, behold your mother. That was the cry of consideration. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Was the cry of separation. Last week, when we thought of those words, I thirst, that was the cry of revelation. And this sixth one is the cry of jubilation. I want you to think of the joy. I want you to consider tonight and to contemplate and to take in the rejoicing of the Saviour in these words, that the victory of the cross was now won. The question, of course, begs, when we think of the words, it is finished, the question must be posed and answered. What was finished? And I want to give you some suggestions, some suggested answers to that all-important question this evening. It is finished. Think, first of all, it must mean that the scriptures have been finished. The prophetic scriptures, that is, about the sufferings and about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you notice there in verse 30, there's a very close connection between the Saviour receiving the vinegar and the utterance of the cry. It says in the verse, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. So there's a very close connection between the Saviour receiving that vinegar and the utterance of this sixth cry. The taking of the vinegar fulfilled the last scripture about the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. We looked a little at it last week. It's found in Psalm 69. If you notice in verse 28, the idea is that all scripture had been fulfilled but one, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. So all scripture had been fulfilled at that point, but one. And now that he had received the vinegar in fulfillment of that prophecy, all has been fulfilled. So he cries out, it is finished. No more scripture to be fulfilled about the sufferings, about his sufferings there upon the cross. So if we ask what was finished when the Saviour uttered these words, the first answer is the scriptures that prophesied Christ's death in all of those great Old Testament portions. And that's very important, brethren and sisters. We need to realise tonight, and we need to see and understand afresh, God does fulfil his word. Often people in this life do not keep their word or keep their promise. That's a bad testimony for a Christian. Often people do not do the things that they say, the undertakings that they give. But remember tonight, we have an example of it here. God always does. Many times you read in the scriptures that it might be fulfilled. Sometimes it's one of those statements, you can read it so often, that you don't ponder it as you should. Don't pass over those words lightly. Because God is emphasizing, as he repeats a statement like that, or similar to it over and over, God is emphasizing time and again that he always keeps his word. His prophecies are always fulfilled. He always does what he says. The same idea is brought out in those words. It came to pass. And the things that we fear, things we worry about, they come to pass as well. But God's word always comes to pass. The things that he said are always fulfilled. And there's a lesson for us there, brethren and sisters, even tonight as the saints of God. If God has given you a promise, a personal promise for your heart, a promise about your circumstances, a promise about the future, maybe even a promise about your family, particularly thinking of maybe a member of the family away from the Lord, not saved, no hope for eternity, you're very concerned about them. Remember, if he has given you that promise, I want you to be assured tonight that he will keep it. God will fulfill his word. Remember, it may not be immediate. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, you have need of patience. That is true of us all. God may not fill his word immediately. Some of these prophecies that we're considering about the Saviour took hundreds of years. Some of them took centuries to be fulfilled. God is not in a hurry, but he will do what he has said. If he has promised it, remember what he said in the book of Romans, that what he's promised, he's able also to perform. So it is finished. The first thing we need to think about is the scriptures. Think as well, as we consider what is finished, think about the sufferings. Not only the prophecies about the sufferings were finished, but his actual sufferings themselves on the cross were now finished. Remember tonight, he was the man of sorrows. We often sing those words, man of sorrows. What a name for the Son of God who came. He, above all else, was the man of sorrows. In the book of Lamentations it says, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold, here's something to stop and think about, something to stop and consider. Behold and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. No one ever suffered. No one ever experienced the sorrow that our Saviour did when he suffered for our sins. Oh, how our Saviour suffered, brethren and sisters. What woe, what pain, what anguish, what torment, not just of body, but of mind and of spirit as well. What torment and anguish were his. No other sufferings ever compare with the sufferings of Christ upon the cross. But now, when he says it is finished, the sufferings are over. His sufferings are ended. Even the great sufferings of the cross have come to a conclusion. He had endured the cross. He had drunk fully the cup of God's wrath. He drank it all, and he drank it dry. The ignominy, the shame, the suffering, the agony of the cross, they're now past. They're now over. And never again, men and women, always remember that. Never again will he suffer. Never again will he endure pain as he did upon the cross. So what is finished? The sufferings of Christ for our sins were finished too. And what an encouragement that is, even for us personally and practically. Because just as his sufferings ended, so too will yours. Didn't the Saviour say, in the world ye shall have tribulation? Good to be reminded of that. Too many Christians think that the Christian life will be nothing more than what we call a bed of roses. In the world, while you're here in this earth, in the body, while you're here in this sphere, ye shall have tribulation. Be in no doubt of that, brethren and sisters. This world is a place of suffering. It's a place of suffering persecution. It's a place of suffering, sickness and ill health. And for all too many of God's people, maybe not so much in this country but across the earth, it's a place of suffering, poverty. They don't have much of this world's goods, many of the comforts and the luxuries that we experience in this land. But I want you to know, brethren and sisters, that one day too, you will be able to say, it is finished. One day the sufferings for you will be past. One day you will leave them behind forever. Paul said, writing to the Corinthian believers, our light affliction. There's times we think our affliction is anything but light. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it seems as if it never ends. One wave of persecution, one wave of tribulation, one wave of suffering after another. He says it's but for a moment. How could you say that, Paul? We'll put it alongside the exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, this world is only a moment, it's only a blink when we compare it with eternity. So I want you to see, brethren and sisters, one day the sufferings will be over. One day we will leave them behind forever. There's an exceeding and eternal weight of glory that is before us when we pass over into the glory land. We can sum it up like this. After the cross, there is the crown. That's how it was for our Saviour. And as it was for him, so it will be for us as well. The Saviour taught that himself when he was here on earth. The Saviour said, if we suffer, we'll also reign with him. See, after the sufferings, they will end. And then comes the glory. Then comes the crown. Paul said, if ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. So be comforted tonight. If you're passing through a period of extreme trial, extreme difficulty, the fiery furnace, the fiery trial that Peter spoke about, be comforted that you'll not always suffer. One day you too will be able to say of your sufferings, it is finished. There's something else I want you to think about as we consider what is finished. We've thought of the scriptures, we've thought of the sufferings of Christ. We must think as well about salvation. Why did the Saviour come? Why did he come into this world? Remember, it was to accomplish our salvation. There's so many verses that teach that. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Think of the great text that brought the reformer Thomas Bilney to Christ. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So why did he come, brethren and sisters? He came to do the work for our salvation. And when he cries, it's finished, the great depth of meaning there includes that the work, that tremendous work, that work that only Christ himself could accomplish, that work for our salvation is now finished. The great word of the gospel, men and women, is not do. That's a false gospel. So many people tell you, you have to do this, you have to do that. Virtually every religion in the world is a religion of doing. It's a religion of working. That's a false gospel and a false hope. The vital word of the gospel is this. Done. Done, done. D-O-N-E. Do you remember that chorus? I remember being taught it in Killingure Sunday School, just outside Carrickduff, a mile or so from our home. Done, done. D-O-N-E. Done, done. Done perfectly. Finished. Christ cried when on Calvary he died, because it's done, done, done. And that's the message, men and women. All the work for our salvation is over. It's done. The Saviour himself did it on the cross. Nothing more needs to be added to it. There's no more work that is demanded from us. The great work is finished. And all we must do is rest our all entirely in the work that he did at Calvary. There was an eccentric evangelist, Alexander Wooden. A man came to him one day. He was being a wee bit sarcastic and sceptical. And he said to Alexander Wooden, What must I do to be saved? And Wooden said, it's too late. It sort of threw the man a little. He became a little alarmed at the response that the evangelist gave. And he said, seriously, what must I do to be saved? And Wooden said, it's too late, because it's already been done. And how important it is to see that, men and women. What must I do? That was the cry of the Philippine jailer. But there's a sense in which there's nothing that you must do, because he has done it all and finished that work. Remember that in the tabernacle there were 7 pieces of furniture. It's very interesting to consider every one of them, to study the significance of every one of those 7 items. But think of some of the things that weren't in the tabernacle that you might expect to be there. For one thing, there was no chair in the tabernacle. And there's a very deep significance in that, and it has great relevance in the light of our subject tonight. Because the priest's work was never done. You need a chair when your work is over. You sit down, you rest, you take your ease. But those priests in the tabernacle, their work was never finished. Their work was never done. Paul in the Rome, or in the Hebrews, said they must offer oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. He went through the whole ritual of sacrifices today, and that had to be repeated again tomorrow. See, the sacrifice was never complete. The work was never done. The sacrifices that they offered were never sufficient. It had to be repeated over and over again. But what a difference of Christ. The Bible says, remember the words of the psalmist, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Saviour sat down on the right hand of the Father. And the reason he sat down, men and women, what a blessing it is to us. The work is done. The work for our salvation. No doubt about it. And what a blessing, what a comfort that great truth should be just for us to ponder in our hearts tonight. There's one other I'll mention, what is finished. And that is, we must think of Satan. Because the cry of Christ here on the cross marks Satan's defeat. Christ's battle with the devil is over, and he has won the victory. The devil is now a vanquished foe. Remember what Paul said again in the book of Hebrews, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So I want you to see, Christ's battle with Satan is over, and he has won the victory. The serpent's head is now bruised. Remember the first great gospel promise given in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3:15, that the seed of a woman would bruise the serpent's head. Well, the serpent's head is bruised. That indicates defeat. In the struggle of the ages, Christ is the victor. Jesus Christ is the conqueror of the powers of darkness. And what that means for us, brethren and sisters, is we're not fighting for victory. Always remember that. We're fighting from the place and from the position of victory. The victory is already ours through what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. So what is finished? Christ's battle with Satan is finished. Remember that we're no match for the devil. But the great truth, the encouraging truth, is we can still overcome him. Not in our own strength or our own power. We overcome him through the power of Christ himself. Remember those words in the New Testament scriptures? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The reference there to he that is in the world, that's a reference to the devil, the prince of the power of the air. He that is in us is Christ. Christ working in us and through us by his Spirit. And we should be encouraged by that. We have a powerful foe. We're not to underestimate the power of our foe. We only have to read some of the accounts in the scriptures of what the devil did and the havoc that he wrought in the lives even of some of the greatest of God's servants. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Our Saviour defeated Satan at the cross. And I want you to know and be encouraged tonight that by his power, you can defeat him also. And how you get that power is by prayer. You need to pray for that power. One thing you could do, even as you wait before the Lord for a little while in the prayer meeting tonight. So it is finished. We consider those words and think of the question, what or why, what is finished? We must think of the scriptures, the sufferings, the work for our salvation, and the great struggle, the great battle with Satan is finished as well. Let me conclude just with this thought. The ancient Greeks boasted of being able to say much in just a little. They could give you a whole ocean of meaning and truth in just such a few words. And you have an example of it here. In the original, the Greek for it is finished is just one word, teleo. But in that one word, there is, men and women, a whole wealth of truth. In fact, in that one word, it is finished, or teleo, there is a whole gospel. And I want you to see how much our Saviour actually finished. The completion of his work on the cross, what he actually completed, what he did finish, all that he did accomplish. In these simple truths that we've set forth tonight, all that he did accomplish when he died, when he suffered, when he made that great sacrifice in our place at Calvary. It is finished. I pray the Lord will bless these truths and these thoughts to your hearts tonight. 485.